You can put your phones away until the end of the service. And let me say, hey, welcome to everybody that's worshiping with us at Bush Lake at West Tonka, those that are online and those that are guests today. What a delight to be together today. It's going to be an amazing, amazing day. Yes, because the Timberwolves are playing this afternoon. I got to get that in there. Yeah, we celebrate our Wolves, right? So that's fun. But you know, that's just a game and we have fun with that. But then there's this game of life and death. And that video, man, wasn't that astonishing to take into consideration that there are 700 million people globally that are battling poverty today, and more than half of them are children? This is what makes this day amazing, is that we are going to move the needle on that number, and we are going to come alongside and give a hand up to hundreds of kids that are in impoverished conditions in Malawi, Africa. And that's a country which, by the way, is the fifth poorest country in the world. And we're doing it while we launch this new series today called Chosen. To be chosen is to belong. And one of the greatest traps of life is not success or fame or power. No, it's listening and believing the voices that minimize who God made us to be. One of the greatest enemies of life is to believe that you are excluded, that you are alone, that you are less than, because it's contrary to the voice, the sacred voice of God that says, no, you are chosen, you are included, you belong. And so the good news is God the Father says to Jesus, his son, you are my beloved son. On you, my favor rests. You know what's amazing about those words spoken over Jesus? That Jesus takes the words of the Father spoken over him and he speaks them over us. He speaks to our identity, who we are. That is, I am not what I have and I am not what I do. I am not what people say about me. I am the beloved son and daughter of the living God. And he speaks these same words over us. You are my beloved. On you, my favor rests. And what's the appropriate response to that? I am. I am. What's the appropriate response to this good news? It does. Your favor rests on my life. Friends, I am chosen. Those are three powerful words, and I'd like you to say them with me. I am chosen. With a little more gratitude, I am chosen. Isn't that a blessing? So today we want to put a spotlight on that truth by providing a beautiful and practical way that you can experience the life-changing power of being chosen. And to help me with this today is a special guest from World Vision, Steve Spear. And I have to say, and Steve, and your wife, Frances, with us today, so glad to have you at Westwood today. I have two words for you. These are two qualities. I've been spending a lot of time with him in the course of this month, and I've got two words that describe who I see him to be. Compassionately courageous. Compassionately courageous. You know why? Just take a look at this. He did something that was extraordinary a few years ago. His heart was so consumed and troubled over the impoverished condition of people in the world and the lack of clean water that is needed for flourishing in life that he resigned from his leadership position of one of the most influential churches in America to do what? To run across America. To run, literally, from Los Angeles to New York, over 3,100 miles for the cause of clean water everywhere. Think about that. I mean, he ran a marathon every day for 150 days and in the process raised $500,000 for the neediest people in the world. So now I have three words. Yeah, we celebrate that, Steve. That was compassionately courageous. But I've added a third word because two isn't enough for you. The third word is crazy. Crazy, compassionately courageous, that is Steve Spear. And in 2017, he was recognized on the floor of the U.S. Congress for his humanitarian work as an example to all Americans and the difference that we can make in the world. Steve currently serves as the director of church engagement with World Vision. He and his wife, Frances, live just outside of Chicago, and they've made their way here with a team that's come from Oregon and Pennsylvania and in states in between to help be with us today on a very, very special Sunday. So would you give it up and give a warm welcome to Steve Spear, our guest speaker today. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Joel. Westwood family, this is quite an honor. It's quite an honor to be with you. And a huge shout out to Bush Lake and West Tonka and all of you that are online as well. So humbling and such a privilege to join you. Hey, is it okay, Pastor Joel? Can I throw out a couple thank yous? Is that sweet? Okay, a couple thank yous for y'all. Little do you know this, but over the last month or so, I've been hanging out with you online. So it's been really fun. I was with you for the Relational Tool Belt series and the messages that were brought through that. Love and I'm so blessed by your teaching, Pastor Joel. And then to be a part of the Love Build celebration, being online in your heart. I mean, your laser focus here at Westwood for those that are here, near, and far has just been a blessing, a rich, rich blessing for me. So blessed by that. That's thank you number one. Thank you number two is this. Our hearts at World Vision are so full because of the partnership that we have with Westwood. Now, some of you may know this, but for the last 20 years, whenever disaster has struck in the world, you have been the first to generously give. Your church family has generously given each time disaster strikes, and that generous giving brings hope to those who need it the most. So we want to say thank you for that. And it's not only that, man, like 7 or 8 years ago, you all did the World Vision Experience truck and you jumped in full, I mean, all feet forward. Several of you have run or run walk the Twin Cities half and full marathon with World Vision. And get this, the top fundraiser for all of Team World Vision running or run walking marathons is a member right here at Westwood. So you guys, this is pretty, yeah, go ahead, give it up for yourselves. This is pretty cool. So Westwood family, Pillar Church, Westwood family, the Love Builds family here at Westwood, on behalf of the most vulnerable on the planet, thank you. Thank you. And happy 30th, right? Happy 30th in advance, if I can bring that to you as well. So grateful. Hey, can I introduce the rest of my family? Is that cool? Can I do that? Okay, so here's my family. Then my wife, Frances, is here, but she's on the screen as well. But she's here with us as well, my wife, Frances. We hit 39 years of marriage in June. So pretty excited about that. You two totally can applaud that. We'll take it. We'll take it. These are our children. On the far right is our daughter, Chelsea, and her husband, Joe. On the far left is our son, Zach, his wife, Ashley, and our two grandsons, Bellamy and Sonny. And we love being grandparents. Love it, love it, love it. And get this, Bellamy calls us, our oldest grandson, he calls us Gaga. Gaga. Now, he doesn't know a lot about pop music, but he calls Frances Lady Gaga. Isn't that great? He calls her Lady Gaga. And guess what he calls me? He calls me Big Gaga. I'm Big Gaga. So I tell you what, if I'm working it and we're doing well and I'm on a roll and you're liking what I'm saying, you can simply say, come on, Big Gaga. Try it with me. One more time. All right. And Krista, if I'm off on a rail and you need to reel me back in again, you can just say, come on back, Big Gaga. Just try it with me. Okay, oh, that's great. Well, my life verse is Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. And I've long believed that God uses circumstances and people, and sometimes they're welcomed in our lives, and sometimes they're unwelcomed, to complete his good work in us. And now, many of you, as I mentioned a moment ago, you may know about World Vision, but in case you don't know who we are, our mission at World Vision is to follow Jesus. That's our mission, to follow Jesus. And we do this by serving in his name the most vulnerable. And we've been doing this in nearly 100 countries for 75 years. But today, we want to give you an inside scoop of something pretty crazy happening at World Vision these days. You see, there's a renewing spirit that's birthing new ideas. And I'm telling you, there's a big idea that Pastor Joel and I want to bring your way in the next few moments. But when someone hears that I ran across the United States, they usually like to hear a few statistics. I'll start with a picture. First, this is how the U.S. run began. On the far left, that's April 8th, 2013. that's the far west rail of the Santa Monica Pier. On the far right is how the run ended. That's September 6, 2013, 150 days later. That's at Battery Park overlooking the Statue of Liberty. And when I got to Battery Park, I really hadn't thought through what would happen. And once I finished, I instinctively fell to my knees. And I just thank God for his protection and his provision over the previous 150 days. Now, between points A and B, I ran 3,081 miles. Not that I was counting. I did. Counted every single mile. Ran through 14 states. Went through 10 pair of ASIC running shoes. Wore and washed a bunch of times 15 World Vision running jerseys. Consumed on average 5,000 calories a day. We figured I ate about 1,000 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches mid-run. Any PB&J people in the house? Oh, yeah, come on. Online, West Tonka, put your hands in the air, Bush Light. Come on, I know you're there. I know you're there. Creamy, how many are a creamy fan? Creamy peanut butter, oh, yeah. How many crunchy? About evenly split. Check it at campuses. Check the split there. Okay, this is cool. This is cool. If there were a PB&J on this table right now, I'd eat it. I mean, I love PB&J. I just love them. Just continue to love them. High sustained elevation was 7,500 feet in Arizona. Greatest aggregate elevation change was the Allegheny Mountains in Pennsylvania. 1 week of running was 175 miles with 32,000 feet of aggregate elevation change. Scariest moment, being attacked by 6 wild dogs in Oklahoma. Total story for another time. And then the most satisfying, as Joel mentioned, was seeing over $500,000 raised for clean water. But Westwood family, I mean, here in Chanhassen, and again, those of you online in West Tonka and Bush Lake, I am the most unlikely guy on the planet to have ever run across the United States. I didn't run my first anything. My first marathon was in 2007. It was the Chicago Marathon with World Vision. And I was a complete non-runner, hated running. But I felt God moving me past my comfort zones and beyond my fears. As a matter of fact, I had 4 goals for that first marathon. Goal number 1 was just to hate running less every time I ran. Goal number 2 was to train well enough just to make it to the starting line. Goal number 3 was to finish before they closed the course. These were not high goals, y'all, right? And then the 4th goal was to raise $1,000. And I totally thought this would be a one-and-out deal. But God. And isn't that the way that he works? We have our plans, we have our vision, but God moved in. And he reversed something in me. A couple years later, I was invited to go and run the 56-mile Comrades Ultramarathon in South Africa. Now, I didn't much like running 26 miles, so I certainly didn't want to run 56 miles. But God. He invited me once again to step beyond fears, go beyond my comfort zone. 6 months after that race, I was on an innocent 6-mile run near my in-laws' home in Ohio. And at about mile 3, and I could take you to the patch of pavement near St. Clairsville, Ohio, and I heard a whisper that I reckoned was from the Holy Spirit. It wasn't an audible, but it was very clear in my spirit. And the whisper simply said, Steve, you're to run across the United States for the good of others. I thought that was like a bad burrito from the night before. Like, that's just a weird thought to get. And I didn't even tell Francis about it for 2 months. For 2 months, I kept that thing inside me because I thought, this is so stinking bizarre. And I know you do this in Minnesota. You did it last summer. You're going to do it this summer. At one of your thousands of beautiful lakes, when you push a beach ball down under the surface of the water, what does it do? Pops back up again. When you push it down, what does it do? Pops back up again. For the next 12 months, I did that little gymnastics routine with this vision. I would push it down, and I would make excuses, and God would bring it back up again. And I would push it down, and he would bring it back up again. And after 12 months of that gymnastics routine, I finally just put my arms up in surrender. I said, God, I know you're calling me to devote myself more to running and how running changes lives. And if the expression of that is a run from LA to New York filled with more unknowns than I can count, I don't get it, but I'm in. We're in. So we did what all sane people do. I resigned my pastoral role at Willow Creek Community Church in the Chicagoland area. I was on staff and for 16 years. I resigned that position to do this crazy thing as a volunteer. My wife sold and liquidated a 3,000-square-foot brick-and-mortar antique business that she'd been building for the previous 6 years. And the driving question is, why? Why would I do this U.S. run? Why would we endure what arguably is the hardest thing that we'd ever done, hardest thing that I'd ever done physically, spiritually, emotionally? Why? Because God was beginning to reverse a false narrative in me. And the false narrative is this, that people who have less are less. And God would use a run from LA to New York to reverse that narrative that people who have less are less. But what we're called to do as Christ's followers is that we are called to affirm the inherent dignity of people and to restore the broken circumstances in our world. To affirm inherent dignity and to restore broken circumstances. And I know you know this at Westwood, but Jesus, while he ministered here on earth, spoke about caring for the poor and the vulnerable almost more than anything else in his teaching. And specifically in Matthew 25, Jesus said these words, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And then the righteous will answer him, and they almost do it in a quizzical sort of a way. "Lord, wait. When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? Lord, when did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And then verse 40, the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine," say it with me, "you did for me." You see, in these words, Jesus flipped everything. Jesus' kingdom, when you think about it, is one of a radical reversal. It's a different kind of kingdom. Instead of riding in a stallion, I mean, we just celebrated this a few weeks ago on Palm Sunday. Instead of riding in on a stallion, what did Jesus come into Jerusalem on? A donkey. And instead of having servants, what did Jesus do at that Passover meal? He bent and took off his outer garment. And what did he do? He washed his disciples' feet. You see? Jesus lived a radically reversing life, and he taught us to live a radically reversing life as well. So here's the reality, Westwood family. Again, here in Chanhassen, for those of you in Bush Lake and Westonka, for those of you that are online, Jesus invites us to call and receive the most hurting around us as family. As family, to reverse the false narrative that those who have less are less, but to affirm inherent dignity and to restore broken circumstances. These are the two action steps, what we'll call, of the radically reversing kingdom of God. To use our blessings, our resources to get in the game, and to bring about the restoration of broken circumstances, even if it's just for one child. And sometimes I'm often tempted, someone else will do this. Someone else in my row will do this. But when we say yes to building the radically reversing kingdom of God, you know what happens, man? Not only are those we are serving, not only are their lives changed, not only are communities transformed, but our lives are changed in ways we never thought possible. And I want to tell you about a 7-year-old girl who changed all of this for me. This is Winnie. And this is a child that Francis and I began sponsoring just ahead of the U.S. run. And this is when I had the unique privilege of meeting her for the first time. We met their family at their very humble home in the Rift Valley area of Kenya. And then after some greetings, we walked 1 mile to their water source. And this pond that you see in this picture right here, Justina, Winnie's mom, was standing there with us. She's not in this frame. And I said, "Justina," I just didn't know the answers to these questions. I said, "Justina, where is it that you wash your clothes? And she said, right here. And I said, and where do you all bathe? She said, right here. And you can't see this in this image, but there were livestock around the perimeter of this pond drinking and relieving themselves. And this is their water source. And then we dipped that container. I did that 5-gallon container. And I knew, there's a smile on my face, but I knew the water filling this container would kill half the kids in Winnie's Village. It's called the infant mortality rate. And then I carried that, at least 50 pounds full. I carried it 1 mile back to Winnie's home. And that, think of it like an old school microwave on your shoulder. And that 1 mile walk back to Winnie's home wrecked me. I mean, there was a seismic shift that occurred within me that day, and I literally have not been the same since. And my heart broke thinking of Winnie and the thousands of kids like her that would not have a shot at life. But then I learned how our $39 a month sponsoring Winnie was being pooled together with the $39 of others to not only bring clean water, but sanitation, education, healthcare, microfinance, and even an introduction to Jesus. Because one of the cool things that we do is every area that we're bringing in clean water, we're bringing an experience among others, and it's called Jesus, the source of living water. Get ready, because there's a come on big gaga moment coming in here in a second. Because as we're bringing clean, fresh water for the soul, we're bringing the living water of Jesus. The clean, fresh water for the body, we're bringing Jesus' living water for the soul. That's a come on big gaga. You can do that. Come on. It's a come on God, but I just threw the come on big gaga. It's an amazing thing. This last image of Winnie on the left is, this is when I first met Winnie. This is before she and they had access to clean water, maybe what a sense of fullness of life could look like. On the right is the last time seeing Winnie just a few years ago. They now have access to clean water. Winnie's excelling in school, and her family, thanks to her mom, Justina, who is a rock star, has this really thriving garden business. And get this, every Sunday morning, Winnie continues to teach 20 to 25 smaller children truths from Scripture, just like we have here at Westwood. Simply amazing. And we've now seen and hung out with Winnie and her family twice since first meeting her in 2012. And I'm telling you, this young, vibrant, joy-filled girl is not only family, she has redefined family, right? Broken circumstances restored, inherent dignity affirmed, people in their whole communities transformed. And in the few minutes that I have remaining, I want to tell you one story from the U.S. run, and then I want to invite you into something very powerful. When I crossed into New Jersey was within days of the U.S. run coming to an end, and something supernatural, almost unexplainable, occurred. For starters, I had 35 miles to run on the day, and I didn't start until 1 o'clock in the afternoon, which was pretty daunting just even in and of itself. And at about 6 p.m., with a gray sky at mile 25, I started up a fairly sharp incline. Now, I just finished this brutal week of running in the Allegheny Mountains with 175 miles over the course of the week with 32,000 feet of aggregate elevation change. And the last thing that I wanted was another 2-mile climb. And my first thought was, why is there a mountain here? Like, I'm in New Jersey. Pastor Joel, I mean, I thought New Jersey was supposed to be flat. And evidently, I did not know Western geography that well because there's mountains in Western New Jersey. And with each uphill step, I just got more and more irritated. The irritation soon turned to anger. Anger at this stupid incline. Anger at this ridiculous run. Anger for how crappy I felt. And then finally, just anger at God. And I'm not proud of this, but that quiet road heard some choice 4-letter words from a very fatigued soul. And directly after my fit of anger, a sense of aloneness swept over me. While I knew dozens, if not hundreds of people were holding me up in prayer, I felt alone and isolated like never before. And in the midst of this overwhelming feeling, I just put my head down and I just put one uphill step in front of the other. A moment later, I lifted my head and there was a cyclist coming down on my side of the road. Now, as the cyclist grew closer to me, he failed to come off the shoulder to give me room to run. This added to my growing irritation. I thought, buddy, I will stiff arm you into the ditch. I'm telling you, this pastor's not in a good place. I mean, do not play chicken with me today. This is not the day you want to play chicken, Pastor Joel. I will drop you. When this guy got about 20 yards from me, he stopped. And then he said, "Are you Steve Spear?" Imagine my disbelief. I said, "Yes." And then he said, "You're the guy running across the United States for clean water in Africa, right?" In continued disbelief, I said, "Yes." And then the next line out of his mouth floored me, as if what he already said didn't. He said, "I just wanted to let you know there's a group of about 10 people a mile up the road, and we're ready to cheer you on. We heard what you are doing, and we wanted you to know you are not alone. We believe in you." And with those words, friends, I was in complete spiritual shock. I was stunned, I was overwhelmed, I was blown away. And then this angel of hope rode beside me. Previously, I wanted to deck him. You know, Pastor Joel just shows you how fickle I am. But now he's my angel. He's my angel of hope. And sure enough, a mile up the road, there was a group of about 10 people ready to rock my world. And this picture will not mean a lot to you. But these are my New Jersey angels. You see? They restored something in me that day. And we spent the next 10 or 15 minutes greeting, laughing, hugging, praying with one another, talking about our mutual faith in God. Now, I had another 10 miles to run on the day, so I didn't stay a super long time. And as I ran to that next mile, I marveled at the divine orchestration of the previous 45 minutes. You see, our faithful God had met me in the midst of my broken spirit and sense of aloneness. He knew the son of his was in trouble. And he miraculously tapped a group of unknown strangers to surround him with presence and hope and remind him that he is not alone. Yeah, come on. Come on. Come on. So Westwood family here in Chanhassen, for those of you in Bush Lake and West Tonka, and for those of you online, I have a reminder for you and an invitation. The reminder is this. You are not alone. You are not alone. You see, it's the scheming of the evil one that would love to use a circumstance swirling in your world today that would have you feeling alone and isolated. And I want to be one that stands in front of you and reminds you that you are not alone. And that you would live into Psalm 125, verses 1 and 2, that simply say, "As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. You are not alone." And now for the invitation is this, that today, on this day, you can come alongside a child, and not just any child, but a child in Malawi, Africa, to be exact, and not only remind them that they are not alone, but to reverse the false narrative that those who have less are less, and to affirm their inherent dignity and restore their broken circumstances. And in the next few moments, we have a vision that would bring this radically reversing hope to children and families in Malawi in two communities specifically, Mupandadzi. I won't even ask you to repeat that with me, but Mupandadzi and Mubanchera. These are two communities in Malawi. You see, Mupandadzi and Mubanchera are filled with beautiful children who simply lack the basic resources to thrive. They are so full of hope, though they have so little. And honestly, the pairing of a community like Westwood, the Love Builds Epicenter, the pairing of your community with these two communities in Malawi is not a coincidence. And get this, there are over 2,500 children in these two communities waiting to be sponsored. And I've been blown away by Pastor Joel and the leadership and the vision of Westwood this weekend across all the campuses to say, what would it look like if 500 of us stepped into a sponsoring relationship with a child this weekend? So today, we're inviting you, each and every one of you, to become a child sponsor. And how your $39 a month will be pooled together with the other $39 of others in these communities to bring the level of life change that we've talked about. and will restore, just as with Winnie, will restore broken circumstances and will affirm an inherent dignity. And of course, I know as the Love Builds Church that you are, many of you already sponsor a child. And for that, we say thank you. But my hunch is the Lord may invite your heart to, is there room for one more in our family? And if you're not involved as a child sponsor, you're totally going to want to jump in, because this is unique and groundbreaking, and I want to tell you why. Typically, how we would invite you to sponsor a child is you would walk out into the lobby area or the lower link, or you would walk out into the area, and there you would see dozens and dozens of child picture folders. And in the common spaces there at Bush Lake and West Tonka, and just imagine hundreds of child picture folders hanging on some string, pictures of children for you to choose from. Imagine that kind of a setup. But we've been praying some big prayers at World Vision, big prayers that would continue to push us in new ways to better serve His vulnerable children. And not long ago, the Lord birthed an idea that radically reversed our world. He led us to ask the question, what would it look like for the first time ever if this whole thing were reversed? And instead of us choosing a child, what if they were empowered to choose us?
Let me be filled with kindness and compassion for the one.
Get on board with that, and I think you can as well, to declare that to have less doesn't mean you're less, to affirm the inherent dignity of all people, and to restore broken circumstances. We can do that. So we've made a big deal over these last few weeks to come on this given Sunday, a special Sunday, a significant Sunday, and to deepen our relationship with our friends in Malawi, where we have served along Malawians for 20 years with all kinds of different initiatives. But this is a deepening kind of thing, where we are wanting to deepen our relationship with the people of Malawi, the children of Malawi, through World Vision. This week, hundreds of Malawian children are going to welcome us into their homes. And in turn, I want to invite you to welcome them into your home. And so once again, I have an ask, and that is that you would be generous. I seem to do that a lot, but you always are. And I'm so grateful for our church, because we step into this kind of relationship of generosity. And just $39 a month allows you to sponsor a child. And what do they receive? I'll tell you what they receive: clean water, education, health care. They receive opportunities to advance their life. And what do we receive? Even more, even more. See, Jesus comes to us through the poor. And what does that mean, that Jesus comes to us through the poor? Well, we know from the words of Jesus spoken over us that, as you have done it to the least of these, so you have done it unto me. And so the invitation is, serve the poor, love the poor, sponsor a child, because it pleases Jesus Christ. It allows us to do what he did for us, to pull us out of our terrible condition. With his riches, he pulls us out of impoverished places. It puts us in a place where the presence of Jesus Christ is magnified in our daily lives. Amazing thing. And so the invitation is for you to sponsor a child. And you're not alone in this. I'm going to join you. Carrie and I are going to do that. We did that first in 2017. We have a child. We actually now have three children. This is the picture that we're sending to Malawi. And we have three children that we have sponsored. The middle one is Grace. She's and just turned 19 years of age. Carrie and Grace do letter correspondence back and forth. We've decided to support her. We got her when she was 12, and now she's in college. We're going to support her through college. And then we have Philomene, who's in Rwanda, and then we have this Crepine, who is in Togo. It's a beautiful family. We are working with the rule of four. We have four children. We have four granddaughters, and now we have four bonus children. And an amazing part of our journey is that our family has stepped into this, and they're sponsoring a child today. We have a family affair. To the left is Esten and Kate and Calla and Jovi, their two children, and they sponsored a child in 2017 that they continue to sponsor, and they're going to add to their family today. And then John and Loren and their little baby, 5 months old, Zalia, they're going to add to their family today. And then Kate and Cam and their dog, Cubby, they have no children. But today, they're going to add a child to their family and welcome a child in their home. And then there's Blake with little Charlie, who's four. And Blake is a single dad. It's not easy being a single parent. Some of you may be in that. We've had a lot of conversations. This is a sacrifice for him to be able to do this, but he wants to prioritize it, knowing that it will bring blessing into his family. Whether you have much money or little money, Jesus comes to us through the poor. And there's great blessing into that. Steve, come on up. We got to wrap this up quickly so that they can get out and go do their thing here in a moment. But what I want to do is have Steve give you a few logistics. But just in a few moments, we're going to release you to go take your photos in our different campuses. And then we have a team leaving this afternoon for Malawi, 3:30 p.m. this afternoon with your photos. There will be chosen parties taking place in two villages, and they will be putting your photos on display, and children will be choosing you. They'll capture those images, bring them back, and put them in an envelope. We'll put them on display here. And on Mother's Day, we're going to have a reveal party, and you can pick up your envelope and find the child who is supporting you. Quickly, Steve, what logistics do you have for us? Because can I invite you to take out your phone? You started this way. He's going to have you use your phones in just a moment, and we love you and are grateful for what you're doing, but give us a few logistical
Absolutely.
Thoughts.
So yeah. We have like three steps and a couple reminders for you. First of all, with your phone out, just go open your camera app, and you'll just want to scan the QR code that's popping up on your screen. Whatever campus that you're at right now, just pull out your phone and scan the QR code that's on your screen. And that's step number one, is go ahead and scan that. Once you scan that, and again, if you're online, we're dropping that link into the chat so that you can do that. So go ahead and scan it, whether you're online or West Tonka or Bush Lake here in Chanet. Scan the code. Step number one, everybody's doing that. That's awesome. So you scan the code. And then this is where step two comes in. You're going to start filling out some information. Okay, the very first piece of information that you're asked is how many children would you like to choose you? If you want to do more than one, you can. About a year ago, I was speaking at a church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and just before the service started, a gentleman, as I was walking in early that morning, a gentleman found me, and he said, "Hey, are you the guest speaker for the day?" And I said, "I am." And he said, "Hey," he said to me, "I have no idea what you're talking about, but we're glad that you're here." And I said, "Well, great, I'm glad to be here as well." And he said, "I wanted to let you know the number 7 came into the heart of my wife and I this morning as we prayed coming to church." And I said, he said, "So I'm going to trust that God has something for that." He listened to the message, all that we're doing. Afterwards, he found me. He said, "I hope it was all cool. It was cool, but we said yes to being chosen 7 times." So you can go, how many of your children, that's how many times your picture will be copied off and hung on some string. All right, that's step number two. Fill out the information. Go ahead and fill it out even right now. Those of you online, just continue filling that out even as I'm chatting with you right now. And then this leads to step three. Step three is you will take the most epic picture in your life. And why will it be epic? Because Pastor Joel mentioned, it's going to hang on some string right next to his. And our team, your team from the church, is going to see and celebrate you being chosen. And you've got a cool pastor's dashboard as well. You might even hit that. But you're going to have an opportunity to be chosen. And poverty at its core is a lack of choice. So when children have this opportunity to choose you and your picture, it is indeed epic. For those of you online, you're going to be given instructions on how to upload that. By the way, that's really cool. And then the final couple reminders are this. If you don't have your phone today or you're having trouble with your phone or whatever, we've got tons of people in each lobby setting, and your pictures will all be down here in Chanhassen. It's right when you leave. We get in the lower link. We get down by the cafe. For those of you at Bush Lake and West Tonka, we have photo booths outside your space. But if you don't have your phone or having troubles, we have volunteers that will help you. For those of you online, you have to get this done by 8 p.m. Central tonight. So we just want to let you know that online. And then you all, Reveal Sunday is going to be a hoot.
Yeah.
Because you're going to come, and as Pastor Joel mentioned, you are going to open an envelope, and in it will be the child who chose you holding the picture you're taking today. It will open your heart in a way that's really difficult to transmit. And then, of course, as Pastor Joel said, you're going to get a picture, a letter from the child who said, hey, here's why we chose you. So it has been amazing, Westwood family, being with you. And we pray and trust as God makes this a reality, this vision a reality of 500 of us being chosen a reality. So God bless you. Thank you. And we can't wait to do this with you.
Yeah. Would you stand at all of our campus? Let's thank Steve and World Vision for being with us today. And go get your photo taken. Let's have a great day. Come back next Sunday. And for Mother's Day next week, we celebrate our 30th. It's going to be a great time. Thanks for being here,
Amen.
Steve.
Amen. Yeah.